Good morning, Symphony Church. We are now on our last chapter of Malachi, and it's actually the last chapter of the Old Testament. Today, we'll be reading from Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, and I'll read that for us. Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Amen. One of the most profound lessons that I was ever taught was through a pop quiz that my second grade teacher, Miss Fiora, gave to my class. It sounds silly, but it was a teaching moment that stuck with me for 15 years and counting. The story goes like this. One day, unannounced, Miss Fiora had us put our little test-taking folders up, and she says that we'll be getting a pop quiz. Now, I don't remember what she said that the reward would be for a perfect score. Maybe it was a bag of candy, or maybe we got to be the line leader for the week. But you can tell that for everyone in the class, it was game time. So she passes out this single page face down to each of us, and sets the timer for 10 minutes. She gave us a ready, set, go, and boom, all of us frantically flipped the page and immediately started answering all the questions. Now, I consider myself a pretty smart second grader, but I quickly realized that this quiz was not meant for any child in the second grade. Long division, convoluted US history, every question was completely foreign to me. I tried my best with some of them, but I ended up not being able to answer a single question. Soon, the 10 minutes were up, and all of us dropped our pencils, obviously frustrated. That is, everyone except my classmate, Nicole. Nicole was always a studious girl, even as a second grader, and because she remembered her good test-taking habits, she caught something that nobody else in the class did. Before the long division in the US history, at the top of the page was a single line of instructions. Do not answer the questions below. Just write your name at the top of the page, fold your hands, and wait for the time to be up. While the rest of us were so caught up in these problems, she knew something that led her to look right past all of them. In our passage today, we learn that God will also test us one day, but this time with much higher stakes. A perfect score means life with him as his treasured possession. Falling short means a fate of fire and stubble. But if the book of Malachi has taught us anything, it is that mankind fails this test every single time. The Israelites in this contending with the Lord have shown that they are absolutely corrupted in every way. They have forgotten the goodness of God and have become irreverent to his worship. They've disobeyed him and disregarded him, and above all, have denied doing any of these things when confronted by the Lord. And it wasn't just the Israelites in Malachi. Our passage is at the end of the Old Testament narrative, right before the 400 years of silence from God. And if you rewind all the way back, you'd see just how futile this endeavor really is. They failed during the exile. They failed as two separate kingdoms. They failed under Saul. They failed under David. They failed in the promised land, in the desert, all the way back to the garden. From Genesis to Malachi, the Old Testament is resounding proof that man will never be good enough to stand before God on this day of judgment. If it were up to us, when that day comes, burning like an oven, we will practically throw ourselves into it. That is our fate, a sinner's before a holy and perfect God. Unless we fear his name. Verse 2 says that for those of you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. God points us to this light in the darkness, a rising Son of Righteousness that will bring healing. God points us to the salvation we have in Jesus. It's a crazy thing when you come to know Jesus, isn't it? When you come to know the massive price he paid on the cross, the grace that he gives us so that we can be clean. When you know Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, you can look right past the coming day of judgment. You can look right past judgment into eternity because he is the only thing you need. When you know Jesus, you can put your pencil down, fold your hands, and wait for him to return. So what exactly does this look like? If we know that our salvation is assured and that there is nothing we can do to earn or cost us the eternal life that he had bought for us with his blood, how do we wait? Verse 4 tells us how. It says to remember the law. For the Israelites, this was the law of Moses, the Mosaic law that dictated Jewish life. But for us today who live in the aftermath of Christ coming to fulfill the law, it's a lot simpler. We remember Jesus. We pray to him and follow in his footsteps. We try to be more like him and let him call us to greater things. You know, this devotional is essentially a basic presentation of the gospel. And if you're listening to this, chances are that you've heard it many times before, in one form or another. But I wonder, does this news fill you with joy? Does our application of fearing the Lord and remembering Jesus cause you to go out leaping like calves from the stall, as our passage puts it? While we're waiting for the day of the Lord, let's wait in joy. Let's approach prayer with a heart of gratitude. Let's spend time with Jesus and really ask him to show us something wonderful as he takes control of our life. Let's go to him in prayer. Lord, remind us how great this news is. Remind us that although we do deserve to suffer, we do deserve judgment, that you bring us far from it. Lord, that through the blood of Jesus, through this relationship that we have with you, through his intercession, that, Lord, we have nothing to worry about. That all we have to do is wait, to look to you, to enjoy you, to have joy in our waiting. Lord, I just pray that whatever application your spirit may be guiding us to take from this devotional, that it is something that we can approach, not with a heart of burden or obligation, but really a heart of celebration and joy. Whether it's spending more time with you in prayer, whether it's meditating on the future and what is to come in eternity, I pray that we can do it knowing that you have paid the price for us. Lord, we thank you. May this truth transform our lives. We pray all this in your name.